Him say, I want to wrap my arms around my people. I want to come in this morning and I want to fill them up with the love of God. And I heard the Lord say, He wants you to know that you're loved, you're accepted, and He delights in you. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your situation is, no matter where you're at in this life, the Lord wants you to know how much He loves you and how much He wants to come in and rescue you. He wants to come in your situation, deep in your heart, this morning, and He wants to rescue you. He wants to love on you in those places where you're hurt and you're broken, where you feel that void of love and you don't know how maybe you'll ever get that back. But the presence of God is here this morning. The love of God is in this room this morning. Come on, God's about to do something in this room. Wow. Come on. Something is about to happen in this room this morning. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name that is above every other name, Father, release the love of God in this room. Wow. I'm telling you right now, just open your hearts. Open your minds right there. Wow, wow, wow. Wow, right there. Let Him come in. Let Him love you. Wow, let Him heal you. Let Him do only what He does. Come on, Lord. Come and take those deep places, God. Lord, those places where we hide from people. Because we think if they really knew us, they wouldn't love us. But Lord, come and rescue us, oh God. Come on, right there, let Him rescue you. Wow, wow. Come on, let Him fill you up from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. Doesn't matter where you're at today. Wow. He's filling you. He wants to rescue you this morning. I don't know, but that means something to you. Individually, that means something to you. God wants to rescue you this morning. He just wants to wrap His arms around you. As a father does. Wow, come on. Wow, right there. Let Him fill you. Let His love just envelop you this morning. Wow. Wow, right there. Come on. Don't let anything keep you from His presence. Wow, wow. Right there. Wow.
I just need to share. This week I had an experience with God, and it's he has me pray a lot for body of Christ to be healed in many ways, and a lot of them is body parts and so forth and cells. But the Lord brought me in. I had somebody call me for praying for an issue of, and I said, this is mental and emotional barriers. And some of the things that she was telling me, I saw in my own life that I've had when I was growing up. And He's been having me pray, especially with Tom and the injury and the head injuries and so forth. But there are connectors that need to be reconnected and to be healed. And these things go back to where your beginnings were, even in your growing up time. And He spoke a word concerning the mental and emotional barriers. And today, even in hearing this word, You kind of feel this, but there are some blockages in memory, in hurt, in areas of mind where the Lord is coming in and He's regenerating mind, will, and emotions to bring healing factors to the memory, to the emotional barriers, to the things way back when you were a little child. And these receptors have grown and you've learned patterns to reject. And the Lord wants to break through these barriers of patterns of rejection and hurt barriers in traumas, in memories, and experiences, because you've dislocated or you dislocate yourself to protect yourself. And it's a God-given gift that He's given us within, but the Spirit of the Lord is needing to bring healing to the structure of the mind. For the mind has been injured in the journey, and the Lord is restructing and bringing healing to the mind issues that is the barrier of receiving this exception of God's love for you, passionate and personally. So today I pray these mind gates to be removed by the Spirit of the Lord, that the Lord Himself can come and administrate healing to memory, healing to mind gates, where the Spirit of the Lord has come in your cognitive disposition, where the Spirit of the Lord is positioning a new mind and a new heart in receptors to the love of God, where you were not able to before because of mind gates where the enemy came in, but the flood of Jesus Christ has come to break through these barriers of mindsets to that have controlled you, and you don't even know sometimes how you act in the way that you are. But the Lord says, I know all about you. I know all about your thinking, but I am moving into processes of healing the mind, for the mind gates need to be healed of some damaged emotions. And these are gateways to me, saith the Lord, but they've been plugged up and I'm opening them up. For the windows of heaven have come, and the love of Jesus, like you've not seen before, are going to be experiencing for you the healer who's coming to heal the soul, the mind, the will, and your emotions. For damaged emotions will be healed, saith the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. We call on your name and we're saved. Hallelujah. And all we have to do is just call and you respond. Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for your presence. God, you're awesome. You're awesome in this place this morning. And Father, we thank you for settling in this house. We thank you for the praise and worship this morning. Weren't they awesome this morning? Hallelujah. You guys deserve a hand. You were awesome this morning. Thank you, Sarah, and Chad, David, Bethany. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We get to this morning, we get to bring our tithes and offerings. In this house, we don't force you to bring your tithes and offerings. We simply say, you give as God lays it on your heart. We don't take, but we give freely. We give freely of what God has given to us. And you know, our God is a big God. And He supplies every single one of our needs. You know, I've watched God respond to my personal needs. And He's always given, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. He's always done that for us. And I'm nothing special. Well, I am to Him. But He's always met us. He's always met our family's needs. Whenever we've went someplace or wherever we've needed to go someplace, He's always been there. And so this morning, you know, in Malachi 3 and verse 10, it says, "Try me. Try me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out on you such blessings that you cannot comprehend, you cannot receive them all." And you know, I've watched God do that. And He's awesome. And He always carries that out. So, Brother Jeff, will you come? Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. God, we thank you that we can bring our tithes and offerings this morning. And Father, that we can place them into your kingdom for the kingdom's work. And Father, you don't force us to do anything. But Father, we give because we want to. And so Father, this morning we thank you for every provision that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may bring your tithes and offerings. I kind of sprung something on Jeremy last week, and so this time he's got things downloaded for me, and so he wants to show you the first water that came forth from the well when they were digging it. Jeremy, can you do that? The first water from the well that you people helped dig in Bakula Village. Okay, and then Jeremy wants to show you the finished product.
Agatuweredwa aba United Community Church. Twagala okulumiza Katonda olw'ekkanisa eyo olw'okutuwa omukisa gw'amazzi gano. Amazzi tubadde tugeetaaga ng'ekkanisa ey'abakijula Wasco Center, amazzi tugeetaaga nga essomero lya Yesu Akwagala Primary School, amazzi tubadde tugeetaaga ng'ab'ekyalo. Twagala okwebaza Katonda olw'omukisa gw'amazzi agatuweereddwa. Gagenda kuba gayamba ekkanisa, gagenda kuba gayamba essomero, gagenda kuba gayamba community yonna. Ate era omukisa gw'enjawulo gwe tumanyi gwe twafunye, n'abali badde batannaba kutegeera Kristo, abadde batannamanya ku Yesu, nabo omukisa weeguli bajja kuba bafuna amazzi. Bwe banajja okufuna amazzi, bajja kwongera kijja kuba kibe, bajja kuba bafuna omukisa gw'okukkiriza Kristo, bategeere obulungi bwa Kristo, bamanye obulungi bwa Kristo, era bajja kuweerwa omukisa mu linnya lya Mukama waffe Yesu. Twebaza nnyo aba United Community Church olw'omukisa ogwatuweereddwa olw'amazzi gano. Mukama batuweere omukisa.
Bannange, twebaza Katonda olw'okubanga twafunye kwali lwakikulu. Amazzi tubadde nga tugajja waleero ku bidiba, ne twafunye bowero twatukamusizango kugendera ku mwema ne twafunye bowero wano okumbi yagebazanya abantu.
Hallelujah. Fresh water changes the lives of a community. It virtually changes the whole community. And we saw the first pictures where they were actually getting their water, and it was out of a swamp. I mean, it's something that you and I would not have dipped a pail into that swamp to get water. We just wouldn't have done it. But, you know, today they have fresh water flowing. And this well is right by the corner of the church. And so that all of the villagers that come for water have to come to the church. And as he was saying, you know, it's a testimony. It's a testimony to their church, and it'll be a life-changing experience. Hallelujah. Also, just in a side note, we have our fall conference coming up in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. Believe it or not, 2.5 weeks. And we don't exactly know how that's going to all function yet. A lot of it's going to depend on Jeremy. Jeremy, we thank you for your skills and abilities. Because Jeremy and William and the sound people are going to have a big job. Because the borders are still closed, so the people from Canada can't get here. They're going to be Zooming to Panama, Nicaragua, and I think they're Zooming to Africa and to El Salvador. Okay. So, I mean, it's going to be a different conference this year, but those people from that place are going to be gathering. And they're going to be speaking into our lives, and we're going to be speaking into their lives. So it's going to be a good thing. Along with that, brethren, Mary and Jim, they have the Zapata the Zapata outreach giving, yes, for Christmas gifts and food and that sort of thing. And also, Pastor Jake asked me if I would contact Brother Steve in Africa so that we could raise finances to dig a second well. And we've been praying that during the conference that we would raise enough money to dig a second borehole in Africa. And so I guess that's been on my heart. Linda and I and Willie were planning on going to Africa in December. I don't know whether that's going to happen. With Europe shutting down again, I'm becoming more doubtful whether we're going to be able to make it. And we were not only going to dedicate this well, but we were also going for a wedding of one of the pastors that we sponsor. And we were really looking forward to that. But, you know, maybe it'll still happen. I don't know. You know, God can shift things, but there's a lot of logistics that need to be taken care of. We have to have a quick virus check in three different places if we're going to go. And from the sounds of things, that doesn't happen. But God is able. God's able. So this morning, Pastor Jim, will you come? We get to hear the message from Pastor Jim.
Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Look forward to, give him praise. You know, that's my heart's desire ever since I gave my heart to Jesus, that he changed my life. And I need to be thankful for that change. You know, a lot of times, we get involved in even our circumstances, our situations, and we're not as thankful as we should be. During worship, the Lord just kind of laid on my heart on this scripture, I don't know if it goes along with the message I'm going to speak or not, but I'm going to share it with you. It's Paul, he said, but it's in Galatians 6:14. It says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, or circumcision is anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And that's what I seen happen in my life when I gave my heart to Jesus, he changed our nature. You know, I was never one that wanted to, I kind of looked out. I don't know if I learned that from somebody, but I just looked out for myself. You know, and I just think of drilling a well, you know. I remember the Lord just bringing this to me, standing in a cardboard city in Mexico. It was a hole. I mean, you could look down the line. It had streets in it and everything, but it was completely made of crates and cardboard. You know, and it totally changed my life. It totally changed. I remember one other time that it was before I was a Christian. But the first time we went into Alangobo City, the Philippines, and we went over on the beach and we crossed this river that just stunk something fierce. and the kids were down swimming in it. You'd think that this is water that I could walk across, you know. You'd think it would have been like mud on you if you, you know, the way the water looked. And it kind of broke my heart, you know, and I think that's when God kind of first laid on my heart that there was some kind of a heart of a missionary in me. You know, and he was going to put a mission before me. That mission is, it's not ours. You know, that's what Paul was saying. He said that it's not for me to glory in, you know, in my preaching or whatever I'm doing, you know, because God changed me and he's living in me. And that's what makes the difference. When we allow Jesus to live inside of us, when we allow love to live inside of us, it says God is love. When we allow that to live inside of us, that's what's going to change the world. You know, but it's allowing that to happen in our lives, you know, because it's a breaking of my own personal will. God's breaking. You know, I've even sat outside this church and I've wept And I'm going, you know, I'm thinking, you know, am I feeling sorry for myself? That's why I'm crying, or, but no, it's a breaking that God's doing in our lives. For Him to live in us. He's creating a people that He can live in through their lives. He's chosen to do that. This was the way that God chose, is that He lives through His people. He lived to drill a well for the people in Africa. That's Jesus. That's not me. I look back at me and I wanted a motorcycle, a stereo. I had my list of what I was going to go. I was going in the Navy, and I was thinking I was going to get a motorcycle. I was going to get a good stereo because I really like music, and I really, you know, and all of those things were on my mind. Drilling a well wasn't on my mind. Or helping the poor floor in an orphanage in Mexico wasn't on my mind. But after standing in that cardboard city and seeing, at that time, I think the weather that morning we got up, you know, you think you're going to Texas, you know, it's going to be warmer. It was in December, 7 above. The water lines froze at Steve's place because they were working on the lines trying to get them open because they were frozen. You know, if you've been in Texas any length of time, a lot of times we've lived in Texas for a while, so our lines, our water lines run on top of the ground. They don't have to be, you know, 8 feet in the ground. But when a freeze comes, you have to worry about those lines because they're going to freeze up. And his lines froze that morning that we got there. So it was cold. And the only electricity that these people had is that I don't know how they do it, but they threw wires up over the wires, the wires that were running through the cardboard city. And they could get some kind of electricity out of that, and that's what they had, was a light bulb in those places to try to keep themselves warm. You know, in Mexico, a lot of times you'd see, in the morning times, you'd see the whole family standing outside against their backs against the house with the sun shining on them. And I suppose that's the way they warmed up in the morning, is that they could get out and get, you know, if they could get into the sun, you know, trying to get out of the wind like yesterday. You know, even though the weather or even though the temperatures weren't really bad, it still felt cold outside, you know. And so, you know, God's changing us. You know, that's the purpose of God in our lives. That He's changing us into His image, His likeness. And His likeness is love. You know, I know we hear the word a lot. You know, I have heard the word all my Christian life about, you know, about love. You know, and I think the last message I spoke is, do you believe that love works? You know, do you believe that love works? You know, I'm going to read in 2 Peter and starting on the first of chapter 1. And I'm just going to read and say that, you know, we're in a process. And, you know, and to continue to put yourself in that place. You know, because process in the kingdom of God brings responsibility. And that's what scares me. It brings responsibility. I mean, whenever, you know, when I fell in love with my wife, it brought more responsibility on me. And then we had children, it brought more responsibility on me. You know, and I've never liked responsibility. Truly, I don't like responsibility. And I don't like, you know, carrying responsibility. You know, and God, you know, if we have the faith in our lives, but we go through storms. I mean, we've gone through, you know, I heard a preacher say that, you know, as Christians, we're doing better than we feel we're doing. We're doing better than we feel we're doing because of the chaos that's going on in the world. And we're listening to some of the chaos. You know, if you turn on the news, turn on television today, that there's chaos. And you're wondering, you know, and it's shaking the love that's in me. And that's what it said. It said in the end times, you know, that the love of many will grow cold. And we're trying to stir it up. We're trying to allow love to flow through me, and you know, if it's 6 feet away, or me wearing a mask, or you know, all of these things are complicating our feeling towards one another, our feeling towards our people that we work with, all of those types of things. It's a total chaos in the world. You know, the total chaos is that I have never been so challenged in my love. You know, do I believe that Black lives matter? Yeah, I believe that with all my heart. In this thing here, because I believe that God made us all equal. His word tells us that He made us all equal. And that but I believe that white lives matter too. You know, I believe that, you know, I stood on the, you know, and I know that I've listened to the media and for last about our borders and stuff like that. I've stood on the other side of the border and I've did a lot of work in Mexico, but it's challenged my love. Of should we have a border or should we have should we have a wall or shouldn't we? It's challenged me in my love. Do I want our country run over or by immigrants? It challenged my love. It has. And God's dealing with me. But I think I am doing better than I think I'm doing. Because the winds are blowing and I think we're pushing on. We're pushing through. You know, I've never been in Africa. I know that our church, there's a lot of people in our church that have been in Africa. And I've been up alongside of it when I was in the Navy. I was up alongside of it. I've been in Iraq, and I've been in Iran. Some of our, at a time, I guess I'm old enough to know that in Iran they were peaceful towards the United States when we were there. but I've walked on the soil of Iran. There, and I guess at one time, it's kind of like politics. I hate to get into politics, and I just don't see a biblical standards too much in politics, and I never have. I've looked at it, and I'm going, man, you know, I know that God deals with, you know, what we say and you try to say the right things, and I think that that's good. But our love is under attack, and so many times I'm asking myself, well, what is love? You know, and I wrote it down. I wrote these in 1 Corinthians 13. It tells us, you know, what is love? First Corinthians 13. I know, though. I don't know. I was preparing for. I was going to speak at. It said, faith enables us to come to God, but love enables us to imitate Him. And it says, faith gives us the ability to know God, but love gives us the ability to imitate God. You know, it's not enough just to have faith. It's a lot of allowing it to be worked within our lives, that love that God is. And starting at the fourth verse, I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible, because it kind of, some of the cross-reference don't even cross-reference what love is. But the Amplified kind of amplifies it and makes it a little bit more clear to us. And it says, love endures long and is patient and kind, love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It's never boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude and does not act unbecoming. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It taketh no account of evil done it. It pays no attention to suffering wrong. Does not rejoice in injustice and in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth in right and true prevails. Love beareth up under anything and everything, and is never ready to be believed the best in every person. It hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails or becomes obsolete. This is what God's trying to develop in our life. You know, and it won't fail if it's developed in our lives. What, you know, I know that, well, throughout my Christian walk, you know, God has slowly, progressively, you know, like Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize at a high call in Christ Jesus. There had to be a press within his life that message, Paul said, I carry the scars of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was carrying all of the things that had happened to him. His scars were on the outside. He got whipped. He got stoned. And he said, I got the scars that I was a servant of Jesus. That I was a servant that I gave my life for this love. You know, if you looked at Paul's life, he was constantly being compelled into the ministry. I know when they say, you know, I think of, you know, when you do an outreach, you're always trying to raise money, and I always hated raising money. You know, it's never too fun, never fun to you know, to go out and to hand out the gifts and to do all of those types of things is great. I mean, it's rewarding, it's all those types of things. But trying to raise money to get all those things to give to the people, it's one of the things I don't like to do. You know, but that's a responsibility. That's the responsibility that gets put on you, that, you know, when you love and when you open up your heart. You know, and sometimes you think, well, I don't know if I want to do that anymore. You know, and I know as a people, you know, ministry, God is trying to create a love in our lives, and this is the thing that will set us free. And if we have faith in God, all of this stuff will be done. Because God is not limited. He's not limited in his love. He's not limited in anything. What limits him is us. And sometimes it's us, the lack of our love. You know, and my love's been under attack in this time. You know, I went to, I was in the Navy, and we live at close quarters in the Navy, and there, you know, and I know that how a lot of the stuff worked with black people, that they used, we always say they used the race card to get their way. You know, and I'm not saying that that's not the case. But it says that we look past that. And we treat every person the same way. Because if we look at the circumstances and the situations, I won't show love towards these people. But if I look them like as a person and as God created them. It changes me. It changes the way I look at things. Because, you know, we're going to have circumstances and situations in our society all the way through. I try to get trouble out of my life. I just want to get trouble out of my life, you know. That's my thought. I just want to get trouble out of my life, but it seems like every time you get one trouble out of your life, there's another one that raises up again, and then there's another one, and I don't think trouble is going to get out of my life. But God's what? How do I react to trouble? That's the problem. I work to try to get trouble out of my life. You know, if you get everything new, if you get everything, you know, I got a new truck, you know, or a newer truck about 3 years ago, you know, and I really like the truck, really, you know, I put it in the shed, and I didn't even drive it that much at that time, but I was, when it got cold out, it started to leak fluid. You know, and you always think, well, I'm going to buy this so I don't have trouble. And my old pickup sitting right alongside of it, it hasn't leaked a drop since I bought it. Neither oil. Now it does, I guess, as it sits in the garage, but I never had to put, I changed the oil and those types of things, but the whole time that I had it and drove it, I didn't have to put oil in it. I didn't have to put antifreeze in it. I didn't have to do those things. And now my new truck, I have to plug in. If I plug it in, it doesn't leak. If it stays warm enough, it doesn't leak. And it doesn't leak during the summer. It just leaks when it gets cold outside. That means, I said, God's telling me something. I shouldn't be living in cold climate. But God's making us into what? New creatures. And I'm gonna read from closing. I was gonna read, at least I'll read the scriptures that God gave to me. I always think of T.D. Jakes. He said that the word works if you work it. That's his big saying. The word will work if you work it. If you don't work it, it won't work. You know, so, you know, it's, there shouldn't be, Witness Lee, it shouldn't be any ignorant Christians. You know, we have the Bible. You know, so ignorance only comes if we don't read it or don't study it or don't, you know, in daily problems, you know, I know that when I was, I've never been I didn't really want to give a 10% of my, and I know that that's probably not in the New Testament, but I always believed that that was our tithe. You know, and we had a guy come in, and he just said that, you know, your tithe buys the field. You know, and it says that, you know, we can rob God only what? In our tithes and our offerings. That's what he told Israel. You have robbed me. And they said, well, where did we rob you from? He said, you robbed me in your tithes and your offering. You know, and they came in and they spoke on the tithe and the offering, and they spoke on that, you know, your tithe buys the field, your offerings plant seeds in that field. You know, and as Danny said, I've been doing it for what? I think since 1980, 40 years ago, over 40 years, I got a hold of tithes and offerings. And we have never went without. And we've stepped out. I remember being in places where I didn't have anything, but God came through. You know, and he said that if you put, it's kind of like your bank account. If you put money in your bank, you have a little bit more to write a check. You know, if you don't put money in it. And that's the same with spiritual things. You know, we sow into the kingdom of God. You know, and that's a form of what the church does to provide a building or to provide a well, you know, or to provide toys for kids and meals for kids or whatever, you know. Those things, a lot of times, because people don't do it, the church isn't able to do it. And how important it is in our own personal lives is that God said that he would rebuke the devourer. God would rebuke the devourer. You know, I want God on my side. I want God on my side. I want him to rebuke the devourers in my life. Because I got a few of those. But as in 2 Peter 1, and starting at the first verse, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtain like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. It says, therefore are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, and to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly love, or brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his own old sins. Therefore, the rather, brethren, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if these things be in you, you shall never fall. You know, it just talks about a process of God working in our lives. And if we allow this love, I mean, I wrote it down, I'll amplify it. My writing, sometimes I have a hard time reading my own writing. And, you know, yeah, I print and I try to get it, and everything gets ahead. And so, but to read there are four verses. It's in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. If you got an Amplified, read it in the Amplified, because it really amplifies the thought. I got a Bible that cross-references it, and how to allow that to sink into you. You know, that's one thing I always wanted to, when I read the Word of God, I wanted to be able to live the Word of God. You know, and I'd take my time in trying to do that. You know, a lot of people say, well, I read through the Bible and it didn't seem like it had any effect on their lives. And when you do that, you're just reading it like a book. But this is a living word. And I mean, if you open up your heart, it'll transform your life. So my prayer is to open up my heart to the Word of God. You know, I know that it was something that we were taught when we were young Christians. Man, you have to read the Word of God daily. You have to pray daily. You have to, and they were emphasized that, you know, because they knew that, you know, I can read and then I can go out and look at CNN. And then I have to go and read again to change my mind again, that love does work. Yes. Love does work, and the Word works if you work it. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you for allowing me to share with you. Hopefully I'll help you in your walk with the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. This week, we get to vote, and I encourage you to vote, okay? I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but I would encourage you to vote. I believe that this is probably one of the most important elections in history, because everything is on the line. Everything is on the line. And so, pray. Pray for our country. Pray for our people. Pray for our elected representatives, senators. Because this is an important time. And I guess also stay tuned. We don't exactly know how the conference is going to work, but we know it's going to work. And so, yeah, we will be in this building. We know that. And there. The conference will be set up, the building will be set up kind of like it was for the conference in August, where we will social distance, we will ask people to be mindful of the virus and everything that's going on. You know, I guess it was kind of like last night. You know, we wanted the people to have fun. We wanted the kids to have fun. But we tried everything possible to make it fun and safe for the kids. And I think that we did a really good job last night doing that. And so I really thank this body for stepping up, for the people stepping up and serving the community, because they truly did. So, yes, Pastor Dave is going to be here, and his son, and I think some others. He's bringing some other people, and then Pastor Steve Cornamone from Ashby is also going to be here. And then we're going to be doing some Zooming, and so it's going to be awesome. It's going to be different. But we're just believing that God has some great things. He's got some great things planned for the body of Christ. You know, and if we're willing to be used, He'll use us. If we're willing to be used, He will use us. So I just encourage you, pray, be in prayer, and allow God to do what He's gonna do. So go in peace, and may peace invade your lives this week, because perfect peace casts out all fear, and we have nothing to be afraid of. Amen.